buy you a home, Beverly Hills. Won't pick your life and five easy steps. Ain't the law of the land where love ends. But it's all you need. And love will hold us together, make us a shelter together. Storm and all, brothers, keepers, so the whole world will know that God is Lord. It's waiting for you, knocking at you. So the whole world will know that we're not alone.
Sorry about that. Weave my way through. So we had this debate going. Go ahead and have a seat. We had this debate going on a little bit earlier, and the sound guys, all of it, believe that this section over here is supporting Philip. This section over here is supporting John. So we're not. So we're not too sure. But then over here though, the Tards mentioned, well, this side it's easier to get up and leave really fast. So that could be that too. I'm not too sure. But anyways, every month we pick a new ministry, something that's going on around our community overseas that we call our Kingdom Focus. And with our Kingdom Focus, what we want to do is we give out a chunk of our tithes and offerings to be able to support those ministries. And part of those ministries are things that we want to be able to support that our church is connected to in some way. Somebody in our church is doing something in the middle of it and so forth. So this month is a little different, a little more unique. We should have a slide somewhere that should be popped up. Josiah's over here sleeping. He's thinking about maybe moving over to John's side. I'm not too sure. But our Kingdom Focus this month is actually on explore people that are being sent. And so that is literally, we have some individuals in our church that have different callings on their life that God has stirred in them to be able to start doing ministry and start doing some different things. And so we're going to actually help them out and support them. Bev is headed to Honduras here in another week. Josiah is with Young Life and doing some different things that way. And so we got individuals that are going beyond their own personal finances to be able to make things happen in ministry that God has called them to. So we want to encourage them as a church. And to be honest, I feel extremely blessed for a congregation our size and our age to be able to have folks in our church that are stepping out and following God's calling on their heart is pretty darn cool. So, Father God, we just come before you right now, and we just praise you for the way that you work in our hearts. We praise you that, Father, that you have created us for a purpose and for a reason. And, Father, I love it when we begin to discover what that is and seeing people step into those things. And so, Father, this body here, this congregation, wants to be able to be involved in where it is that you are doing. And so we want to get behind and support these individuals as they step out in faith, as they put out their own financial trust and also their time to be able to minister. Father, we want to be able to encourage them, come alongside them. So we thank you for that privilege. And Lord, we just want to give it all to you and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
My heart, oh.
want my heart. You got it. You got it. You got it. If you want my heart, you got it. You got it. You got it. If you want my heart, you got it. You got it. You got it. You got it, you got it, you got it. You got it, you got it, you got it. Oh, oh, you can have my heart. You can have my heart. Oh, 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 you can have my heart. You can have my Yes, Jesus, this morning let us reflect upon the sacrifice that you made for us, the precious blood that was spilled for our sins, that we would be, that those who are far from you would be close. My sins, Father, have been washed clean. All my heart, Father, you got it, you got it. There's no one else more worthy, more deserving. There's no one else who's more holy. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His and what he did for me on Calvary, more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who I know the author of tomorrow's ordered my steps. For this is my story, and this is my song, I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who never fail. He will never fail. Yes, Jesus, sometimes the answers that we get back don't make any sense. But we trust in what you provide. We trust that you are faithful and that you are good. That no matter how I feel and how my emotions travel from here to there, you are good. You are perfect in all of your ways, and we trust. We trust in you. You will never fail. No matter how many times we turn away from you, no matter how many times, God, we fail, you never fail. We can always come back to you, knowing that your grace is sufficient.
your blood covers all. Oh, that we would trust in you with all of our heart, mind, and soul this morning. That the power of your Holy Spirit would work in a mighty way in this place. It's in the great and mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sweet. So, yes, you're looking at me going, did Mark drool during worship? No, that's I was holding Elvin, and it's not spit up. So, but he did grab my shirt and sucked on it. I didn't realize that. So yes, I do have this mott here, just in case you're wondering what's going on. So, hey, I just want a quick shout out. So this is the last day that we will have all the lights strung up through the church. And for those of you that are visiting and so forth, these lights were put in by those who put in time walking around the campus, the university, and praying for our students and so forth this last month. And so it represents their time. And you guys almost filled all of them, but you filled a lot of them, which is really, really cool. And so I just want to thank you guys. I'm proud of you for being able to step out and do battle on our campus for our students and for the ministry there. So that's a cool thing. Give yourself a hand. Woo! There you go. That seems awkward, doesn't it? Anyways, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll dig in. Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for all that you do. And Lord, I just ask as we dig into the message today that your Spirit would speak to our hearts. Father, each and every one of us has dealt with the damage of lies in our life, and things that have tripped us up, have changed the way we think and our identity. And so, Father, we want to come to the truth. We want to be able to understand it. We want to be able to apply it and to let it sink in. And so, Lord, I ask that you begin to do the healing. And so we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many times have you guys, well, don't actually answer this question, but think about it. How many times have you been in a situation where you have gotten into a fight or a discussion, or maybe not even a fight or a discussion, maybe you just kind of started to shun a person or to not deal with a certain person because you heard something or they said something that you misunderstood. That that situation, especially if you're married, this is like a weekly thing, right? Where it's like you take the circumstances and you've kind of come to your own conclusion, this own idea of what was being said or what they meant by what they said, and you were totally off. I mean, we've gotten in so many situations in our lives where we have you know, these little fights, these little struggles, and it's due to misunderstandings. There's so many times that we make judgment calls, and we look at certain situations, and we hear stories, or we hear reports about certain things, and we make a judgment call only to find out later that there was a different side to the story, that there was a different scenario than what we were originally presented. I think we struggle with these things a lot in our life. And the reality is there are things that have been told us since we were kids, things that we have heard, situations that have gone on around us where it has actually impacted us long term and has done damage. And so since we're doing this whole inside out, last week we talked about our sin nature and the reality that we have this sin nature inside of us, and it taints everything. And it taints the way we live and the way we think, and it holds us at captive, and that Christ is the only one that can set us free from that. As we do this inside out, it's not just the sin nature that we have to deal with. We have to deal with our thinking and our processing and our thoughts and our feelings. It's kind of dealing with all that stuff inside there to bring it to a place where it comes to the glory of God. So today we're going to start dealing with an area of the way that we think and process. And Jesus is going to start us off here in John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is a familiar phrase to us. The truth will set you free. The reality that if we can grasp what it is that God really wants, what really is the truth, and get rid of the lies, then we can make right judgment calls. We can think properly. I think the reality of our life is we have so many things that have been told us, so many lies that have come to us. The devil speaks lies, and he is the father and the author of lies. And all these little lies that we've been told or little lies that we tell ourselves actually affect us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. They taint who we are. They wear down our sense of identity. They bring us to a place where we make judgment calls about others even before we give them a chance. We have taken these lies into our life, and they have guided us in so many different directions in so many different ways. And so when Jesus talks about the truth will set you free, we realize that there's more here for us to grasp than I think is even possible. And the reality of it is coming to a place where if we can find out really what the truth is and some of the things that we believe, we can live differently. Matter of fact, it ought to be the mark of a believer that we live differently. Because this world around us has been told lies all its life, and so have we. And sometimes I think as believers in Christ, we don't live victorious. We don't live a life that really honors God, because somehow or another we have grasped onto the lies and we have accepted those as truth. And so it has held us back from so many different things. It's not just a mental thing, but it's a spiritual thing. I want to give you two verses fairly quickly just to prove the point that this is a spiritual thing that is happening to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says it this way, starting in verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritually taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish. And cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. There's another chunk of verses that is similar to this, but on the opposite scale, and that's in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says this: "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men, beings, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurities, for the desires are degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. So there's a fundamental truth that runs in the reality that how we think shapes what we become. Not only is it how we think, but there is also a fundamental truth that this is a spiritual reality. We are not only just talking about the mind in our process, but we're talking about the reality that we have to be enlightened by the Spirit. Otherwise, we give way to things that are foolish. See, when we surround ourselves by the philosophy of this world, when we surround ourselves by teachings that confuse us, by things that define us, then the truth is we get to a place where we start making judgment calls that are not based on truth, but are harmful. And what happens in the midst of that is we become selfish, we become insecure, and we begin to struggle. And then the sad part of it is we pass it on to our kids. I think that's really the tragedy. Because we want our kids to be victorious. We want our kids to have a better life than we did. Scripture talks about generational sin, where sin and something that is happens on a constant basis from one family generation to another family generation. I don't think that is a spiritual thing that God says, okay, I'm going to curse you to this. I think that is what we do, is we pass on the way we think to our kids. We pass on our lies. And so therefore you can come across a culture, you can come across a group of people that can almost blow you out of the water, because when you begin to hear what they think and how they process about other people, about other countries, about their own sexuality or their own way of identity, and you listen to it and it's like, that is so weird and it's foreign. How would you believe that? And yet you know for generations that's been the truth. Because it's been a lie that's been passed on and on and on. You go to India, and India has a class system. It has had a class system forever. And basically, in their system, they believe wherever you're born, that's where you stay. And it is a shame upon you if you try to improve yourself, if you try to get out of that class. And so you're stuck in that class wherever you're born, regardless of your intelligence, regardless of your abilities. It doesn't matter, because you were born at a certain place and that's where you will stay. We think about that in America and we go, what? So if you're born in poverty, you're not allowed to succeed. We go, that's so opposite of the American dream. You know? America, we have this idea that, well, you can make whatever you want out of yourself. You just gotta try and you can do it. And so we hear a philosophy like that, and we go, that's crazy. But yet it's a lie that they've told themselves so much and so often that they've accepted that. The crazy side of it is we as Americans have told us the lie that whatever you want to do, you can do. Whatever you want to achieve, you can. It's just whether you're willing to sacrifice enough for it. That's a lie also. See, God is the one who raises and promotes. God is the one who takes care of us. God wants us to succeed, but at the same time, he wants us to seek him in his glory. And then on top of all that, we begin to think and process in a way we look at it and say, well, wherever you're at, whether you're in poverty or riches, depends on the blessing of God. You know, actually, if you look at Scripture, if you're in poverty, you're probably more blessed than those who are in riches. See, we got so many things built into us. The value of individuals. And whether they're educated or uneducated, whether they're wealthy or unwealthy, whether they're capable of handling a chainsaw or they wear slip-on shoes. I don't know. So you know what I'm saying, though? I mean, we make judgment calls about all this stuff. And we look at it and we struggle, and it is so hard to overcome. And then occasionally we meet somebody and we've made this first impression, then we get to know them a little bit, and then we're kind of blown out of the water that these guys are actually kind of cool. And it's ridiculous because all it is built on lies. That's not only how we deal and interact with each other, but how about ourselves? Man, we look at ourselves and dependent on how you were raised, you'll sit there and go, okay, this, am I of value? Am I achieving? Am I not achieving? What is my self-worth? You know, and depending on how we were raised and what we were told as kids, you know, we'll think that, well, if I do this, then finally I've achieved. If I've gotten to this certain status, if I've made this money, or if I'm capable of doing certain things, or if I can take care of myself, or if I'm independent enough, or, you know, and we put these value markers in our life. When I was a kid, growing up, my dad was very much on a work ethic, and I appreciate that out of him. But part of that work ethic was to be able to achieve and be able to, you know, do things for yourself. And my older brothers were able to get to a place by the time that they were old enough, they bought their own cars and started their own business and all that stuff. And I was the youngest. And so one of my goals was I was going to buy my own truck by the time I was 16. And so I did. I bought my brand new truck off the lot when I was 16 years old because of the money that I saved up. And then I wrecked it, totaled it. 6 months later, I lost the whole thing. Got T-boned, pulled out inside of a bigger truck. Best thing God ever did to me. Because I put my value, my self-worth, and my identity on me being able to achieve. Went to a large high school, you know, 500 in my graduating class. I was the only one that bought his own car. I mean, you know what I mean? And so I was better than everybody else. You see what I'm saying? We get to that place where we go, this is our values. This is what we're going to achieve. This is who we are. And God took that away in a second. It broke my heart. Made me realize all the years that I've been saving up, all the things I've been doing to try to achieve. He ripped it away from me. And it was like, oh, why would he do that? I was following him. But at the same time, man, it was so good for me to be able to realize I put all my priorities in the wrong place. I strive for all the wrong things. Why? Because I was believing a lie. See, when we believe a lie, it destroys us. We don't even know it while we're pursuing it. And the reality is these lies that are inside of us, they can be so rooted inside of us that they can be there for years. And these are being able to achieve, we look at that and say, well, that's not a bad lie. It's a good thing that you did that, Mark. Like, yeah, I wasn't hurting anybody. I was doing the things that I should do. And people had, you know, there's like, why? Way to go, Mark. That's awesome. You know, you've been able to buy your own car. But boy, it was destroying me. And to be honest, in some ways, throughout my whole life, I've had to fight on that lie and go, my identity is not in what I achieve. My identity is not in what I can do and make and whatever it is. And I've had to work on that, to read that out of my life because it's so rooted into me since I was a kid. But what about the other lies? The lies that we hear ourselves where it's like, this is your value. You're not quite worth loving. You're not quite the individual that can actually have friends. You've messed up in your life. So you don't deserve. See, we tell ourselves these little lies and they do unbelievable damage. I want us to turn over to Romans chapter 12. I've told you guys a lot of times that these are some of my favorite verses because I think it gives us a map of what God wants us as believers, as His children, to be and to do. But I also think, as we dig into this, I want to show you some key aspects out of the simple little verse about how we can start to overcome some of the lies in our life and get to a place where we have mental health. Because I think that some of the greatest damage is our mental health. Our anxiety, our fear, our self-worth, these things that begin to control us like we're slaves because of the lies that we believe in our life. Romans 12, 1 through 2, I'm going to read through it and then we're going to take it apart. It's a simple verse, but there's a lot of truth in it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is the true, or your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing will. See, when we begin to look at this, there's some things that he pulls out for us to be able to realize. One is at the very beginning of this, where he tells, I urge you, he says, but in view of God's mercy. In view, other words, in understanding. So going back and going, hey, do I grasp what God has done for me? When I can really stop and go, I mean, that's why we do communion, that's why we have times of worship, is because it's for us to come and go, okay, Lord, help me recenter. Let me think upon the glory, the majesty, your power, and then the reality of the grace and the mercy that's been given to me. When I can recenter, it's absolutely amazing. This last month, me and Sasha have been doing so much traveling. I am so tired of it. We have been to California, to Denver, to a conference over in Helena just 2 days ago. Sasha was in the East Coast, all in the last month. And it's constant meetings, constant. And the more I'm in those things, the more my mental health goes down. Because I don't do really well with large groups. I don't do really well when you get up and you're constantly hearing stuff about what you're supposed to be doing and what your church is supposed to be looking like. You know, because then you start doing all the whole comparison thing. Okay, well, you know, well, I'm okay here, but I'm not doing so well here. And there's always somebody up there that's an expert where they're doing really well in something. And so you look at that and go, well, I am doing that, but nowhere near the way you're doing it. You know, and so you get to this place where it starts just to wear on you. And I don't know about you guys, but that whole thing of comparison, all that stuff that goes on inside, it drains you. And I get to a place where my mental health is not good. I'm moody. I'm tired. I get depressed, I get frustrated. You guys don't have this problem, do you? You guys are all staring at me like, oh, whatever, you're a weirdo. I'm telling you, hey, this is what happens, and I think it happens to a lot of us. It may not be this type of situation. That stuff might energize you, but there's things in our life that begin to wear on us, and partly because of how we process it and partly what we do. And I don't pull out of that until I actually get time where I sit down and I am able to take account of what God has done for me. See, because my identity is in Christ. I'm a child of God. I have been redeemed. Not because of anything I've done. Matter of fact, I can't even achieve it. I can't even come close to it. I am loved because I am His. Period. I'm not loved because of what I've done or my behavior or what I can achieve. I am loved because I am His child. Man, if you have a child, you can understand that. If you have a grandkid, you can really understand it. Eldon, I love him. He's like, yeah, I'm holding them during worship back there. He's sucking them on my shirt. And, you know, but he's staring at me and he's, And he hasn't done anything, good or bad. He is. And I can't help but love him. Our Heavenly Father's love is so much more perfect than ours. And when we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we realize that I have this sin nature and I need to be rescued from this, and we surrender our life to Christ because he's paid that price, and he says, I give you a gift, but you have to accept it. And if we've accepted that and received that in faith, we have salvation. And God loves us. He's adopted us as his kid. And being adopted means he can never get rid of us. But it doesn't even matter because he loves us totally and completely. And the scripture tells us that nothing can separate us from his love. He's got us. He's got us. And we struggle inside whether we're worthy or whether we're good enough. And we have those little lies that step inside of us and go, hey, if you were really a good believer, if you were really a Christian, then you would have done da-da-da-da. And those lies come back. So not until I sit down and go, okay, in view of God's mercy. Oh, Father, he has loved me so much. In view of his mercy, it's nothing that I can do. It's nothing that I have to maintain. I am loved because I am his child, period. End of story. Nothing added to that. I am loved because I am his child. Done. Man, when I can come back to that place and begin to do that, there is a foundation and a rock that begins to happen in our emotions and the way that we process. If you are struggling, if you are fighting through depression, if you are struggling with your self-worth, if you are battling with just mental fatigue, make sure you're spending time in the view of God's mercy. Make sure you're spending time where you are just in his presence. To be able to come to a place, however you worship. Some people love being surrounded by a crowd and worshiping. Some people like being on a mountaintop and worshiping. Some people need it quiet and dark. Some people need to study. Whatever it is that draws you into that place of worship, do it. Make it a habit, a routine. That's the thing about mental health. If you don't make it a habit, you'll fade in and out. The more you make it a habit, the more steady you'll become. You'll still have bad days, but the fewer they'll become. The more you'll be able to regulate your emotions, the more you'll be able to think clearly. When we focus back on the truth of God's mercy for us, to be able to realize that's where he's at. It goes on, though, in the scripture. It says, not only in the view of God's mercy, he says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. To offer my body as a living sacrifice. Galatians says this really well. Paul writes it down. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul's writing this. So it's like, man, if you were crucified with Christ, you'd be dead. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, mentally, Paul has gone, this old person, my old values, he's gone. He's dead. He's nailed to the cross, which is not a pretty sight. But I don't want to be that person. I want to live my life as Christ would live my life. I want to think and do the things that God would want me to think and do. I want to live my life as a living sacrifice. Jesus said it, that if you want to gain this world, you have to lose yourself. If you're chasing after your stuff, your desires, your value, if you hold things out in front of you and say, hey, you know, I can find happiness if I just do these things. Here's the reality of it. It's going to leave you high and dry, regardless of what it is. You could even look at it and say, well, these are good things. It's a family. It's, you know, it's relationships. It will leave you high and dry. It will. It doesn't have to be fame and money. Everybody here knows that, you know, fame and whatever. You know, we're not going to chase after that, but we still do. So we can put good things out there. But if it's our desires, it will still leave you high and dry. Because remember that sin nature that we have? It taints everything. And then we get these lies inside of us of how things have to operate and be. And then what happens is we go after that thing and we go, okay, I'm going to do this thing and it's going to be awesome. And we can even say, well, it's even for the glory of God, you know, and we're going to make this thing happen. And what happens is we get into it and our perspective is still tainted by sin. And so we ruin it. Or we get in there and nobody else is as excited about it as we are. Or we finally find that relationship and it's awesome until we find out that they don't put the seat down or whatever. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I thought this was going to be great. And once again, we can destroy the whole thing that's supposed to be a blessing. See, when we die to ourselves, this is what's crazy about it. When I say, God, whatever you want, I want to live for you and for your glory, whatever it is that you desire out of my life. When I begin to live with that mindset, when I begin to seek first the kingdom, because that's really kind of what seeking first the kingdom is. When I begin to live in a way that it's like I'm laying everything on the table. And all these desires, all these dreams, all these things that I want, God, I'm going to put them over there. And I'm going to really try really hard not to touch them. If you want them in my life, then you have to put them in my life. Because every time I try to touch it, every time I try to chase after it, I destroy it. But when God gives it to us, it's amazing how all of a sudden these things can become a blessing. It's amazing how it can change your life. Because our perspective is not that I'm doing it, it's not my value, it's not my fun, it's not what's going to satisfy me, because the only thing that's going to satisfy me is actually living for God. The only thing that's actually going to satisfy me is being able to get to a place where I'm surrendered to Him and whatever He has for me. That's why you can talk to missionaries that live in some of the worst places of the world. And they can tell you, man, this is tough, but there is no place like being in the center of God's will. And they love it. When people are sold out and radical for the Lord, and they're walking in the center of God's will, they usually have a pretty rough life. But they won't give it up for anything. All the apostles had an opportunity to. A couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon. Some of you guys may remember where I talked about pastors just need to suck it up. Okay? It was a little different sermon. I understand that. But here's the reality. If you're going to be in the center of God's will, this world is not our home. And the things we think are going to satisfy us are not going to satisfy us. But when we're living in the center of God's will, it's okay. It's okay. Because being in His will, there is more peace and more joy. There's more mental health. It really is. Because our perspectives are different. The world may not understand that. Matter of fact, that's why the scripture says it's foolishness to them. Because they do not understand. It has to be discerned by the Spirit. Man, being able to live where God wants us to live, to be able to surrender ourselves to that, a living sacrifice. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice, to do things in God's will. Well, first of all, it's kind of like, okay, God, what would you want me to do? See, me and Sasha have this thing that we do. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for this. Where usually Sasha's work, she has more work than I do. She's got so much stuff that that's on her plate that she's doing all the time. And so there's days that Sasha's like working hard and I've got all my stuff done just because I'm quicker than she is. And just joke. And so it's like we used to get a little frustrated. It's like I'm working and you're not, and it's like, well, I would love to help you, but I don't know what to do for you. And so we came up with this thing where now that when she's doing that and I get that place, I have to ask this question to myself: what would Sasha do? And so that's where it starts for me, is what would Sasha do? And so then I have to think through, oh, Sasha would have, she'd want this done, so I better clean the house. So then I have to rethink, okay, what is it that Sasha would want done? It's kind of the same thing with the Lord. But let me give you a little hint. The scripture tells us to do it all in love. If you don't do it in love, it's pointless, right? So here it is. You do it in love. You receive love. Some of you are terrible at that. You speak love. Some of us need to get a lot better on that one. You hear love. And you look with love. If you can start looking at others with love, if you can start speaking with love, if you can start hearing that you are loved, if you can start doing what is loving, you'll change the world. Scripture says if you do these things, they will know that you are His disciples. If you do these things, they will make a difference. Everything else won't. If you do these things, you will actually live without the power of sin destroying you. Because there is nothing in the scripture that is against love. Do love. Receive love. Speak love. Hear love. And look in love. These are the things we're supposed to be doing. It goes on back in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship of being able to do these things. Look at verse 2 now. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, that's the biggie. If we can start doing these things and start going, okay, wait a minute. We're talking about mental health. We're talking about being able to process things properly. If I can have the truth and I can actually live and be freed from so many things that are holding me back, that is by renewing the way we think. Guys, spending time dealing with the lies in your life is super important. If you've been rejected as a kid, if you've gone through hurt, if you felt like you were a misfit, if you felt like there's things that you have to achieve, if you feel like you have to earn somebody's love in your life, if you feel like you're unlovable, these are all damage done by lies that have been dealt to you. And some of it has come from people that are supposed to love you. And news, some of it has come by people that do love you. They just don't know the truth themselves or how to handle it. So it's not that they were evil, but sometimes they delivered evil. Man, being able to transform the way we think is huge. Being able to get back to a place where we begin to seek the truth, God's truth, where we begin to root out the lies. And I would challenge you in this. I would challenge you to spend some time to actually sit down and root out the lies. Actually sit down with a piece of pad, a paper, or whatever, and go through and go, why do I struggle with this? Why is it so damaging to me? And find out where it came from. And then rewrite it with the truth. Give forgiveness. Let things go. And then begin to dig in the scriptures and replace those lies with the truth of God. There's more to this, but I have gone over my time. So we will come back and deal with some of this stuff because it's super important. Because if we can renew our mind, if we can come to the place where we can really trust and rely on what God has for us, it will set you free. And it's not just a one-time deal, but this has to become a pattern in our life because we constantly are being dealt lies. Constantly. And we have to get to a place where all of a sudden they don't really penetrate as much. And we can live where God wants us to live. I am going to close in prayer, but I want to make this quick announcement. Up here, there are several books, and I have other books, and I can get you more books if you want books. But these books were given to me by a very trusted friend. I have not read the book, okay, so I'll let you know that, but I know the guy who gave them to me. Keith came up here and preached. I know his heart, and he has spent years in helping people get mental health and has a real passion for it. But there's books up here that are basically, it's a letter to my friends in pain. So if you've gone through stuff and bitterness, church hurt, loss of child, you've been a part of racism, whatever, even dealing with suicide, this book deals with all that. It's written from a pastor who has gone through a Job life. And so grab one of those, or if you have a friend you want to give it to, these are free, just take them, all right? And I'm going to close this in prayer. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, you want to fill us with joy. Joy that overflows. And so, Father God, help us to redeem what sin has destroyed. Help us to grasp the new life. Help us to walk as your children. Father God, help us to have the aim to do love and to speak love, to hear love, to be able to share with others and encourage. Father, that you would bring us to a place where our identity, our self-worth, our value, the things that we strive for, our passions, our goals, would be so consumed by you that we do not even know who we are anymore besides you. That we too, as Paul says, can say, I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. So, Father God, we give it all to you. In Jesus' name. Your light will shine all the way.
heart and my soul. Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. Let justice and grace become my embrace. You love you from the inside out.
Your will.
Above all else, my purpose remains. Lord, over losing myself in bringing you praise. Last, your light will shine in all else. Never rain, your glory beyond all praise. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. Let justice embrace, become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Lasting, your light will shine with all else fades. Never ending. Goes beyond all things. When the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all things. When the cry soul cries out from the inside, Lord, my soul cries out.
Well, I thought that was an appropriate song for today, everybody.
I called it. She was like, man, if they don't do the song Inside Out, I don't know what's going on. And then it started. Yeah. It's prophetic. Or pathetic, I don't know. But anyway, so the slides are in random order, so it's just like a grab bag. We started Forge groups last week on Wednesday. We have one at our house. We have so many ways for you to sign up and get connected. You can scan the QR code. You can go to the website, sign up for Forge groups. You can just email the church. They'll get you connected. That'll get you a automated text message that reminds you every week, and it gives you the address, directions, all that good stuff. There's also a young adult Forge group. I think it's on Tuesdays. Yeah. Is it here? Oh, you guys meet in that living room spot? That's like, very fancy. 6:30, they said? Oh, yeah. I think me and you could definitely pass as young adults. Yeah. Is there food?
Clearly.
Okay. I'll just bring a skateboard and a hoodie. All right. If I shaved my beard off, you'd have no idea. I'll just pull the hoodie low. Where's the food? They do ID for young adults group. Okay, there's a Middle Earth Day. Nerds unite. I'm hoping I'm going to be in town on the 26th. That's the opening day of hunting season, isn't it? This is like the dividing line of our church right here. Like, will you be hunting or will you be at the nerd party? I kind of want to be at both. I do love Lord of the Rings. I read it all the time and watch it all the time. It's Anyway, so it's going to be, the movies are going to be playing all day. It's a 12-hour event. We're going to watch all the movies back-to-back while people are playing board games, and then there will be food for the whole day, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, for $5.
And 11.
What? Oh, yeah, eight meals,
yeah,
like a
second
hobbit.
Breakfast.
There will
everybody.
Be 11 Z's.
Well, that's brilliant.
If you know what 11 Z's is, raise your hand. Then you're a real nerd. Yes, eating like a hobbit. Anyway, I had a hobbit birthday once, and on a hobbit birthday, you have to buy everyone else presents. And I made everybody foot wigs so that they could be hobbits. Like, everybody had to wear foot wigs so their feet were hairy, because even lady hobbits have hairy feet. That's how weird I am. Okay, next slide. Trail crew, they were going to have a new work day. It's at Abel, at the Emery's new house. I don't know what we're going to do. Probably lots of stuff. Paint. A lot of paint, maybe a little plumbing. So painting is like flooring. Ah, flooring, like vinyl plank flooring, like the kind that snaps together. It's all that is, you could do it. You could help. There's lots of stuff to do. And they have a new baby, so it would be good to help them. That is coming up quick, huh?
Yep.
So like 2 weeks? Yeah. 2 weeks from today, 13 days from today. So talk to John. He's the trail crew boss. He'll get you lined out. And we also, I don't know if we have a slide for this one, but we have a prayer request. Here we go. So we have a missionary, or there's more. We have Send Relief ministering to the Hurricane Helen. And then there's a 40-year-old missionary that we also have who just had a stroke. One of the missionaries in Germany, Janice. She's very young, but she's still paralyzed from this stroke. So we need to be praying for her. Hopefully she'll get more of her functioning back. I know with stroke sometimes it comes back slowly. So Janice in Germany. And then we're going to be praying for our missions trip to Honduras. And then IMB, the organization we went to Germany with and to Brazil with, has a lot of missionaries in the Middle East right now. Like, there's a lot of conflict there in all these countries, Lebanon, Israel, and we want to, as a church, be praying for all of those people and that they'd be safe, that God would use them to minister to other people, because they're all throughout this region that is in conflict, and we need God to move and use them in those areas, in all of those areas. So, yeah, just jot those down. Remember those throughout the week. And now I feel like we should just pray for those things real quick before we break up. So, God, we just pray for Janice in Germany who just had this stroke, and we pray that you'd be with her and that you'd touch her and heal her and that you'd begin to bring back some of the functioning that she has lost. She'd be able to move her arms or legs, that you would restore her ability to walk even. Just touch her and speak to her and give her peace in this time. And we pray for all of the IMB missionaries throughout the world and in the Middle East, that you would keep them safe, that you would use them to speak into people's lives and to bring your love and your comfort in this time of crisis. And we pray for all the Send Relief missionaries who are helping out with Hurricane Helen, that you'd give them the words to say as they reach out and help people who are in the worst time of their lives. And we pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Honduras that we're going to be ministering with and to, that you would go before us and prepare a way. And I pray that everybody, you'd bless the people here to have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, simple series.